San Marcos, Texas, to us. This is Keith Needham. I don't see him very much because normally I actually go out of the country and invite Keith to come and speak here while I'm gone. He said he's very, very honored to come when I'm gone because that actually symbolizes that we actually trust this man. And so far, we've been very, very blessed in our almost 12 years here now pastoring not to have any guest speakers here cause any major trouble for us. Amen. And Keith promised me today he'll not be the first one to do that. And so that's going to be a blessing as well. But we are blessed to know people that are of quality, they're of character, they're of integrity, and all they do is bless the body of Christ in so many ways. This man is a teacher. He's a professor. He's also, I know, a writer as well. He counsels. He's prophetic. He's got a great teaching and anointing upon his life. So he's going to come today to us with the word of the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and welcome again today to Tree of Life Church, our friend Keith Needham. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Well, I'm going to try not to cause any problems today. After that, I mean, that would be bad. By the way, this is my fourth time here, so I just count myself a member. So I'm just right at home. So you just count me as part of the family. Hallelujah. And some of you, how many of you have heard me before? Okay, so when I came in, I got such a good welcome. People knew my name, except where's the singer who said, "There's that dude." So I like that because I just turned 48, and to call me a dude makes me feel good. Hallelujah. Well, my pastor's in heaven, and if you've been with me long enough, you know I do what he started me doing in 1985. So I'm going to ask all of you to get your Bibles and stand on your feet. Hallelujah. People often think that Joel Osteen started this. Joel Osteen didn't start this. Daddy Osteen started this a long time back. Hallelujah. Most of you have, many of you have electronic Bibles now, which is good today because I'm going to teach you how to get two versions. Praise God. Are you ready for the Word?
Amen.
If you are, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you will, hold up your Bible. Say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen." Hallelujah. May be seated. Glory to Jesus. I want you to turn in your Bibles to two openings. The first one is I'm going to read to you is from Ephesians chapter 3. And then I want you also to open your Bibles to John chapter 16. I'm just going to touch on Ephesians 3. And then I'm going to teach you this morning from John chapter 16. This first scripture will be a very familiar passage to many of you. I'm going to read it from the King James Version, and then I'm going to teach you from the Amplified Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, "Now unto him," talking about God, "who is able to do." I could stop right there and preach 3 months. I mean, anything you need is right there. "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all." There's my next 3 months right there. We got half a year covered. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I've heard many a sermon preached in the many years that I've been saved, and I've heard many ministers stop right there in the middle of that scripture and preach their sermon based on that. And that's good. But you know, if you do that, you're really not teaching what the Bible teaches. Because there's some qualifications about what God can do that are placed upon the end of that scripture that's very important that you not leave the end out. Can I get an amen? It says that God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but that is according to the power. It's according to a power. And I've heard people stop right there too and say, God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. And God has all power. And the Holy Ghost has all power. But that's not what that scripture says. It says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's only according to the power that is at work within you and me. In other words, let me put it like this, church. If we are filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is not at work within us, God is not able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's a harsh statement. The Bible says when Jesus came to Nazareth, it said there he could do no mighty miracles. Didn't say he wouldn't, it said it couldn't do any mighty miracles because of their unbelief. So there are certain qualifications that God has put on his being able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That word, according to the power that worketh in us, first of all, the word power is the same one that Jesus said when he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes up on you. It's dunamis, dynamite. How many of you had that experience? I see we've got to have a prayer time at the end of the service. Hallelujah. And then the word, according to the power that worketh, that word worketh in the Greek is energeo. Energeo. And energeo in the Greek means, one of the renditions is to show himself. Let me ask you a question, church. When was the last time the Holy Ghost showed himself through you? I mean, just made a scene through you. Have you ever just had a running fit for Jesus? Hallelujah. I wasn't intending on telling this, but I remember one time I went to a church about 25, 30 years ago here in Austin. I don't even know if that church is still here or not. And I was hesitant about going. It was a church of about 100 people. And I knew, now you're going to think this is a terrible thing, but I was only at the time about 20 years old. And I knew I was going to be in this church the only person with a white face. And I said, Lord, I really want to go, but I don't want everybody to, you know, look at me and have me stand out. I said, so just let me sit in the back somewhere and not be able, you know, so everybody won't be looking at me and knowing that I'm a prospect to join and that, you know, I'm a prospect to be prayed for and everything. So I walked into the church. The only seat was available was in the front row center. God's going to have it his way. And I said, okay, Lord, well, I'll take that seat front row center, but Lord, you just leave me alone and let me just sit here and mind my own business. And so I went to that seat in the front row center and I sat there a few minutes and I made it pretty well through the song service, but then the preacher got up and he started preaching and his topic was the Holy Ghost and fire. And he pronounced it fire. It was two syllables. Fire. And he kept talking about the Holy Ghost and fire. And it wasn't too long before the Holy Ghost fell on me and I jumped up out of my seat right in the middle of that man's sermon and had a running fit through the church. God's going to have it his way. And so what I'm going to bring you this morning, church, is a message, and it may cause you to jump up and swing from the chandeliers, but sometimes, you know, it's great to swing from the chandeliers. Sometimes we need knowledge. And God said in Hosea, my people are destroyed not for a lack of inspiration, but for a lack of knowledge, a lack of information. And what I'm going to do today is give you information on how to get the Holy Ghost to be at work in you. Because if we can get the Holy Ghost to be at work in you, then God, through you, will be able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even could think. Could I get a witness? All right, then turn back over to the book of John. This is where I'm going to teach you this. Jesus is getting ready to go back to the Father, and he has assembled his disciples together. And I often think of this, how important Jesus' last words must be before he returns to his Father. Don't you know that he chose his words carefully? And in the final messages that he gives to his disciples, he talks about his name. He talks about the word. And he talks about the Holy Ghost. Those are the three things he talks about in John 14, 15, and 16. And here in John 16, I want you to look in verse 5, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. And Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts and has taken complete possession of them. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, and it is advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, and the Standby will not come to you, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you." Everybody look up here at me and shout, "To me." Shout it three times. Now real loud once. You know, a lot of people read that scripture and they think that God and the Holy Ghost is just acting in the world any way that they want to, because the Holy Ghost has come into the world and he floats around like a cloud. And that's not what that scripture says. Jesus said, when I go away, all of these great things are going to happen, because now that you have accepted me as your Savior, and after I rise from the dead and you see that I've been born again, I'm going to go back into heaven and I'm going to sprinkle my blood in the high courts of heaven as a reminder to my Father that you have been purchased by a price. And once that reminder is there, and it's still there today, 2,000 earth years later, then I'm going to take the Holy Ghost that's still in heaven, and I'm going to send him to you in this earth so that he can be inside of you. And when he gets inside of you, some things are going to start happening. And when those things start happening, God's going to be able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I don't have a lot here. I'm just going to tell you three things. If you will recognize three ways, everybody shout three. If you'll recognize three ways that the Holy Ghost wants to function within your life and cooperate with him in these three areas, then you will see God do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Jesus makes it so simple here. It's nothing, no secret here. He starts in verse 8. He says, I'm going to send him to you. And in verse 8, I'm going to read through 8 through 11. And when he comes, everybody say, he has come. Really what that means is when he comes into you, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. How many of you remember when it happened? Oh, I was 12 years old. You've heard me tell the story. They shoved me down to the front of that church and said, he wants the Holy Ghost. I didn't want the Holy Ghost. I didn't know about the Holy Ghost. I was Baptist. Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist living, and Baptist dead. I wasn't going to be anything but a Baptist. And they shoved me down there and said, he wants the Holy Ghost. And it came. I mean, he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody touched me. I just bowed my head and prayed and said, God, if it's you, give it to me. And if it's not, get me out of here. And I spoke in tongues for 3 days. I never stopped. I was just amazed that a little Baptist boy, 12 years old, could speak in tongues. I'm telling you the truth. I about drove my family crazy for 3 days. Keith, come to dinner. Keith, it's time to go to bed. Would you shut up? Hey, bolobo soda bakashimitiaya. Oh, everybody was singing in the shower. I was in the shower. Kote masandolo bokuya. Hallelujah for the Holy Ghost. It says, when he has come, when he's come into you, this is what he's going to do in verse 8. He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it. There is the crux, church, of what I want you to see today. I want you to shout two words, bring demonstration. Bring demonstration. Do you know what the Holy Ghost wants to do through you today, church? He wants to bring a demonstration to the world. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Ghost through you wants to bring a demonstration to the world. And he wants to do it in three areas. Here are the three areas. First of all, in verse 8, he wants to bring demonstration about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, and about judgment. Those are the three areas. The Holy Ghost has two primary ministries. One is a ministry to the believer, and I'm not talking about that today. But then he has a ministry through the believer to the world. And listen, church, the Holy Ghost through you brings a demonstration. He wants to bring a convincing demonstration to the world only in three areas: about Jesus, about righteousness or sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And if you will yield yourself over, not just in the four walls of this sanctuary, but when you get out in the streets or in the schoolhouse, in your workplace, if you will yield yourself over to the Holy Ghost and let him bring a convincing demonstration about sin and righteousness and judgment, you will see signs and wonders and miracles. And you know, I need to explicate on this a little bit because people don't understand. But Jesus knew his disciples wouldn't understand either, so he made it real clear. Starting in verse 9. Here is the sin that Jesus, through you, wants to bring a convincing demonstration about. He's going to bring to the world a convincing demonstration, verse 9, about sin because they are homosexuals. Is that what your Bible says? He wants to bring a convincing demonstration to the world about sin because they smoke cigarettes. No. He wants to bring a convincing demonstration to the world about sin because they're alcoholics. You know, there are a lot of people who preach that. It's not biblical. There's only one sin that through you the Holy Ghost wants to bring a demonstration to the world about, and Jesus identifies it right here. It's about the sin that they don't believe in him. That's the only thing. And you could go out and get everybody converted from homosexuality. You could get everybody, all the politics straightened up. You could get everybody off of cigarettes and off of crack and cocaine. You could get everyone clean from alcoholism. They would still die. They would still go to hell unless Jesus is in their heart. The only thing the Holy Ghost wants to rise up in you to do is to bring a demonstration to the world that Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And no man can come to the Father except by Jesus. We were singing that song. You say, how do I demonstrate that? I'll give you an example. This is a wonderful example. We were singing that song. Pastor Cheryl Lito, she said, this is my song. But she didn't know what was going on in my mind at the time. Every song of worship is to our God. We were just singing that, and I was reminded of about a couple of months ago when I heard about a little boy that was kidnapped. Did y'all hear about that? Little boy was kidnapped, pre-teenage boy. So the kidnapper picked him up and was taking him off. Don't know what the kidnapper intended to do with him. And the little boy was all wrapped up in the back seat, was tied up, but he didn't gag him. And the little boy was sitting in the back seat. And after he'd been in the car for a few moments, the little boy began to sing. Every praise is to my God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to my God. Every praise is to my God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every prayer. The kidnapper said, shut up! Turned into hours. The little boy wouldn't stop singing. The kidnapper said, shut up! You're driving me crazy. Finally, the little boy said, I'm sorry, Mr. Kidnapper, I can't shut up. You see, when I was just a little boy, He said, Jesus came into my heart and he saved me. And then wonder of wonders, after he saved me, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And even though you're kidnapping me, I can't stop praising him. If you gag me, my feet are going to praise me. Praise him. If you bind my feet, my arms are going to praise him. And if you tie up everything on him, my heart's still going to praise him. You just got to get used to my praise if you're going to kidnap me, because I'm going to praise Jesus. And that kidnapper, after about 11 hours, he said, I can't take it anymore. And he pulled over on the side of the road. He shoved the little boy out. And the police came and got him and returned him to his parents. Woo! Glory to God. That's a demonstration about sin when Jesus is so beautiful, the world just wants him. See, God doesn't rise up in you. The Holy Ghost doesn't rise up in you for you to go out and just beat people down and to tell them they're going to hell. They better get right. They better turn or they're going to burn. That's what we used to say as little denominational people. That's what they used to tell us. No, the Holy Ghost wants to rise up in you, church, to make Jesus so beautiful that anybody in the world with half a mind would want to serve him because of what he's done through you. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. So the first thing is, you know, that Jesus wants to be beautiful through you. The only sin that Jesus or the Holy Ghost will rise up and convict the world of is that you don't have Jesus. That's the only one he'll rise up and convict the world of. I was sharing with the pastor right before church. This month is 38 years that I've served Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a long time. You say, how old are you? I'm 38 and a half. No, that's a lie. I'm really 39. No, I'm 48. And at 10 years old, I walked down an aisle and I met a deacon. He was there at the Bay City Baptist Church in Bay City, Texas. And he met me at that altar. And I remember the word I used. He took my hand and he said, will you make Jesus the Lord of your life? And I said simply, yes. And when I said yes, folks, I'm telling you, I know that I know that I know. As Nicole Mullen said, I know that 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 I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, I'm telling you, I passed out of death into life. I passed out of darkness into light. Jesus became my Lord in that instant. And even though all I said was yes, what I meant was, I don't know if I'm going to be poor or if I'm going to be rich, but I'm serving Jesus. I don't know if I'm going to be popular or unpopular, but I'm serving Jesus. I don't know if I'll live short or if I live long, but I'm serving Jesus. Let the record show that from this moment forward, Jesus is my Lord. Somebody asked me recently, what do you want your gravestone to say? And I was very explicit. I said, I want it to say, Jesus is his Lord. That's what I want on my gravestone. So if I go before you, which I probably won't, I want you to put up there, Jesus is his Lord. But the Holy Ghost through you, church, wants to rise up and make Jesus so beautiful that people want him. That people can't stand not to have him. You know, James was with me when this happened, and I got to move on. I can't tarry too long. But James was with me. We were having a revival back in 1999. You remember that? Vaguely. We had a revival with HYPEF, the Houston Youth Pentecostal Fellowship. And, we had this revival, man. I was prayed up, stowed up, ready to go up. And we went into this revival. And, you know, I don't know how many people were there. I guess between 800,000 people in that sanctuary, I don't know. And I just made the assumption wrongly that all those youth in there were saved because they were all part of the Houston Youth Pentecostal Fellowship. I just assumed that they were saved, you know. And I got up there and I was preaching one night, and I think it was the second night of that revival. I don't remember for sure. But as I was preaching, an eyeball went by right in front of my face. And I had started having words of knowledge, so I knew what that meant. And the Lord is very consistent with this. When there's a pain, he usually shows me through a red light. But this was a little bit different because this red light came out of that eyeball and was kind of filtered out and flooded me. And I saw this, and I said, well, I said, you know, I'm preaching, but the Lord tells me, and I knew, I said, the Lord tells me that there's a person here, you're a male, and I think it's your left eye, something is wrong with it. And so, you know, I couldn't see anybody. It was dark in there, 1,000 people. I hadn't seen anybody's eyeball because they kept me in a back room before church started. And then they shoved me out the door before everybody got out there because they wanted to keep me away from all the people because they all want to come around and talk to me. And I wouldn't get home to be able to shower before the next service. And so this young man came forward. I know his name now. He came forward and he stood in front of me. And his left eye, oh, it was so just so messed up. It was bloody red. It looked like every vein inside that eyeball had bursted. It was black around the eye. And I looked at him. And let me tell you what happened. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost wants to rise up out of you to make Jesus so beautiful to the world that people who don't have him want him. I looked at that young man, and I remember standing there looking at him. And when I looked at him, so much love began to arise up out of me toward him. I could hardly even pray for him. I mean, I just looked at him. I wanted to go down and hug him. I wanted to tell him that God loved him. I wanted to give him my bank account. I mean, I just fell in love with him as he stood there. What was that? That was God rising up in me. See, God has power, but God is love. And that was God rising up in me to heal him. And so I finally made it down, and he didn't get an instantaneous miracle, but that moment, that night, his eye began to heal, and within a couple of days, that eye was back to normal. And there was just no possible way that I could have been back to normal within a couple of days. It was messed up. Now, get what I'm trying to tell you here. I said Jesus wants to arise. The Holy Ghost wants to bring a convincing demonstration about how good Jesus is. He wants to convict and convince the world that they don't have Jesus. He went back to his seat, and that night we gave an altar call, and I guess 100 or more young people came down that church aisle to give their hearts to Jesus. And then I guess 100 more came down to be filled with the Holy Ghost. James and I didn't get out of that church, I bet, till 1 a.m. that night. We prayed for so long, praying for people. Oh, I'm telling you, what was it that drew them to that altar? Was it some great sermon? Was it some great speaker? Was it some great philosophy? No, it was that Jesus they had seen was so beautiful and was so real that they said, I have to have this Jesus in my life. Several months later, I saw that young man at another meeting, and he walked up to me and he said, Pastor Needham, in the Indian churches, they all call me pastor. I'm not a pastor, but that's their go-to term. He said, Pastor Needham, I want to tell you something. I said, what, Bobby? And he said, do you remember when you called me down and I had that? I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, when you stood on the stage looking at me before you prayed for me, I looked in your eyes and I saw Jesus in your eyes. I saw Jesus in your eyes. Oh, that humbled me. I still am humbled by that. And I've learned, and it humbles me too, because my pastor who's in heaven had a very similar experience in Jerusalem where he was there, but I'm not going to talk about that. But I'm telling you, God wants to rise up and make Jesus real to the world. So don't go out and condemn and beat people down and tell them they're dying and going to hell and point out everything in the world that they possibly could do that's wrong with them. Go out and make Jesus so beautiful that they just have to have him. I'm telling you, if you let the Holy Ghost rise up in you that way, he will demonstrate and bring a convincing demonstration to the world about sin that they don't have Jesus. Everybody say, I will demonstrate to the world about a good Jesus. Here's the second thing. Look in verse 10. He will bring a convincing demonstration about righteousness, which is uprightness of heart and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I've quoted it often. The Bible says that God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know why the Holy Ghost didn't come until after Jesus got back to the Father and sprinkled his blood? Because God had to have evidence that we were righteous. The Holy Ghost can't come and inhabit an unrighteous vessel. If you speak in other tongues and are baptized in the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, church, you are righteous. And if you've been born again, you are righteous. And the fact that you got the Holy Ghost is proof that you are righteous. You say, well, it doesn't matter what you feel. You say, I made a mistake last week. It doesn't matter what mistake you made. You say, well, I'm not perfect. It doesn't matter whether you're perfect. As far as God is concerned, you are His righteousness created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Look at me and shout, I am righteous. Say, it doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what I look like. Doesn't matter if I've made a mistake. I am the righteousness of God because Jesus did it. So that's how you have to talk. You have to start talking to the devil like that. Sometimes you have to talk to your own crazy head like that. I look in the mirror sometimes and say, you good looking thing. He calleth those things that be not as though they are. But I am righteous. And listen, the Holy Ghost, here's the point. The second area that the Holy Ghost wants to rise up out of you and to demonstrate and bring a convincing demonstration to the world about is the righteousness of God that abides within you. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous, the righteous, the righteous, the righteous, the righteous, the righteous are bold as a lion. Oh, glory to God. A few years ago now when I was in college, there was a very popular comedian. His name was Sam Kinison. Some of you older people may remember him. And he had renounced his faith. He was a Pentecostal minister. He had renounced his faith and had made his fame and fortune by blaspheming God and making fun of Christians and the church. Well, the dorm that I lived in, you would walk into the front doors, and the TV area that was over there was blocked off from the rest of this dorm by these walls that went up, but they didn't go all the way to the ceiling. They were carpeted, portable things, and you could hear anything that was coming over those walls. And man, our dorm people, they just loved to get in there and listen to Sam Kinison on MTV and VH1. And he would just blaspheme God, and it would just irritate me. And I'm righteous. The righteousness of God abides in me. And one night I came in there from a prayer meeting that I had had on campus, and I walked into that front room, and man, all this profanity and vulgar language was coming out. And I mean, it wasn't just vulgar. I mean, he vulgarly made references to Jesus and said terrible things that I, of course, would never repeat, particularly in a sanctuary. And I got mad. The righteousness of God began to arise within me. Well, there was a little Baptist boy that I had laid hands on and got to speaking in tongues. So I went downstairs to where he was. I said, Roy, come on. He said, where are we going? I said, you know, they're out in the dorm and they're praising the devil and I want equal time. I said, we're going to go out there and we're going to praise God. He said, well, let's go. I said, well, get dressed. Put your shoes on first, because he was coming as he was. And I remember we got out there, and I was praying. I didn't really know what we were going to do. I had no idea what we were going to do, to tell you the truth. I was just upset. The righteousness of God in me was getting ready to rebel, and I was praying in tongues. And when I got outside, I said, this is what we're going to do, Roy. We're going to march around this dorm 7 times, and we're claiming it for Jesus. And we're just going to pray 6 times, and on the 7th time, we're going to let loose. We're going to praise God from whom all blessings flow. And he said, I'm down with you, Keith. And then we started walking. Kota balavati no mokoto. Now, he was new in the Holy Ghost. He didn't have a lot of words, so he was kind of like, iti abako, iti abako, iti abako. And I was, koramandiloboko shamananiana makasa ratarabasha. And then on that 7th time, we let loose. And I'm telling you, we began to praise the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But we began to praise the God of Keith Needham and the God of Roy Bright. And he's a minister here in Austin with his own church now. We lifted up the name of Jesus. We praised God from whom all blessings flow. And people were leaning out of their dorms windows. Some of them were cussing us. Some were leaning out of their windows praising. And some of them were joining in with us. I'm telling you, it was just the biggest cacophony you have ever seen in your life. But we praised God. The righteousness of God rose up in me. And I guarantee you one thing. There are people today who are telling their children about a time when a couple of fanatics got filled with the Holy Ghost and marched around their dorm and unashamedly lifted up the name of Jesus. Might as well tell this one while I'm telling my stories. It demonstrates well what I'm talking about. And I don't think I've ever shared this one here. I went to walk my dog one night. Not the dog I have now, but the dog I had before. His name was Tebow. And we pulled up to campus. It was about 11 p.m. at night. And we pulled up, and there were these girls standing there in front of my car, about 8 or 10 of them. And I didn't think much about it. You know, on a college campus, people are out at all hours of the night. And so I went around to the back of the car. I was going to open it and let my dog out. And man alive, these girls were using language. I'm talking about filthy language. And I thought, what on earth is wrong with them? I mean, just filthy language. And I opened up the car, and Tebow heard all that noise. Well, he's used to noise because my dog was talking in tongues at the time. And got a problem with that? And so he heard all this noise. He jumped out of the car, and he ran over into the middle of them. Well, there was one girl in this group that did not like dogs, apparently. And when Tebow ran over into the middle of their group, boy, she got mad. And she turned to me, and she began to hurl invectives against me. I taught public school, and to this day, I still don't know what some of those words mean. And, I mean, she cussed me out. She told me where to go and how to get there. I mean, she let me have it. And then there was one that was on the end. She was a real big girl, and she was mean and ugly. And she turned toward me, and she put her finger out, and she started walking toward me. And I was about 7 or 8 feet from them, or I guess about a little bit more, about 15 feet from them. As she started walking toward me, I realized what had happened. I had just interrupted a gang activity. And I didn't know that. I was just as ignorant as Job's old yellow turkey. And I stood there and I thought, good Lord, what am I going to do? And way down deep on the inside of me, the righteousness of God said, let me take care of this. I didn't even know what was going to happen. But in my spirit, I said, go at it, Lord, because I thought this is it. And so as she got about 2 feet from me, she had her finger out and she was pointing at me. So I figured what was good for her was good for me. So I put my finger out and I pointed at her. And when I did, the Holy Ghost rose up at me inside of me and I said, Bro balakandala va shingala bokondra hamate koya. So when she just froze up like that, the next one that was behind her saw something had happened. She said, well, I guess, you know, she's the president and I'm the vice president. I guess I'll take over. So she started coming toward me. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was all over me. And the second one started coming to me, and I looked at her and I said, Kita ma shondolo bokorahata. I mean, she went to attention. I made my way down the line past all 10 of them. And all 10 of them were just froze. Like baby quail with the gunshot fired. I went over. I was glad they hadn't hurt my dog because I was going to have to kill him and go to jail. I got the leash off. I got the leash. I put the leash on Tebow. Got Tebow and started walking off. I'm telling you, the power of God was so strong on me, having demonstrated that, I was trembling. And as I walked away and started my way toward the lake that was over there, you remember the big, ugly, mean one? I heard her scream, Sir! God bless you. And suddenly Isaiah 54 came to me. And I knew what God was talking about when he talked through Isaiah about righteousness. It says, there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper, and no tongue that rises against you in judgment. You shall condemn it, for this is the heritage of the servants of God. And their righteousness is of me, saith God. The Holy Ghost wants to rise up in you to demonstrate the righteousness of God that's on the inside of you. Everybody say, I will allow the Holy Ghost to bring a convincing demonstration to the world that Jesus has made me righteous. I won't be ashamed. I am righteous. Is this helping you any? Hallelujah. I don't know if it's helping you any, but I'm getting the Holy Ghost up here. I just think I might have to dance this out a little bit. Woo, you say I'd be ashamed to come to somebody else's church and act like that. Well, watch it again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, the Holy Ghost wants to rise up in you, number one, to demonstrate how good Jesus is. The Holy Ghost wants to rise up in you, number two, to demonstrate your righteousness. And here's the third and final thing. Look in verse 11. The Holy Ghost wants to bring a convincing demonstration about judgment. Somebody said, oh, that's right, evangelist. Get them now. Get them now because the judgment of God is coming. That's not what that means. The Holy Ghost wants to bring a convincing demonstration about judgment, verse 11, because the ruler, the evil genius, the prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence is already passed upon him. The only judgment that the Holy Ghost will rise up in you to bring a demonstration to the world about is the fact that Satan is defeated. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Inasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." In legal terms, the devil's defeated. God's already made up his mind. And all the devil has to work with now is deception, lies, and fear. There are different renderings for that word destroy. Destroy means to debilitate. Another version says that he might render him powerless. My favorite version says that he might bring Satan to naught. A naught is a zero. So the devil keeps coming around your house, harassing and haranguing you. Say, "Sit down, devil, I want to talk to you a minute. Here's the real facts of life. That's what you are." And God wants to rise up in you, church, to bring a demonstration that Satan has been defeated. And when you begin to demonstrate that to the world, those with cancer are going to run to you. Those with AIDS are going to run to you. Those who are suffering with heartache and heartbreak are going to run to you. Those who have been condemned by religion and religiosity and sectarianism are going to run to you. These walls won't be able to contain them when that kind of judgment upon Satan is demonstrated through you. I was in a little church in East Texas a couple of years ago now, and this woman came in. Oh, she was deformed. I didn't actually feel much. I mean, one arm was like this, the other was like this. Her head was crooked. One leg was way up, and her body looked like a V. And I thought, well, my first thought was, I hope the Lord heals her tonight. And the Lord immediately spoke to me, and he said, "I'm not healing her tonight." I said, "Well, I just let Lord be Lord. I'm going to shut up." And she came, and she sat on the front row, and I preached. And then I laid hands on those people. Some of them had driven 100 miles to be there, and she never came forward for prayer. And so I just left her alone. And about that time, the pastor came up at the end, and he was giving the benediction and closing the service. And I had walked down, and he had had me do something. And I was standing right here in front of the podium, in front of the pulpit. And she was about right where you are. And I looked at her, and I saw the strangest thing I'd never seen before. And everybody was praying. I looked, and I saw. You say you saw? I saw this. I saw things. They looked like deformed monkeys. And they were crawling all over her, and they were going in her eye sockets and coming out her mouth. They were coming out her ears. They were going in and out of her body in every conceivable place. And immediately, of course, I saw demon powers, and I've seen demon powers before manifest in different ways, but I'd never seen them look like that before. But listen, folks, when you see the devil and the Holy Ghost rises up within you to bring a demonstration that Satan is defeated, don't ever run from the devil. Run toward him. And I was standing there, and it had to be the Holy Ghost, because in one leap, I made it to her right in the middle of that benediction. And I said, "In Jesus' name, come out!" And those demons, I had never had this before, those demons all came out at once, and they came past me, and it was like, it almost knocked me off my feet. And so afterwards, I was getting ready, and I was taking my camera person home. And I said, "You're not going to believe what happened to me tonight, Tanya." And she said, "What?" I said, "You remember at the end?" Well, of course you remember. When I'd scream, she said, "I saw everything." I said, "What did you see?" She said, "When you screamed, come out, it was like a black smoke, and somebody had turned on a vacuum clean behind you and just sucked that right out of them." I said, "Praise God," because we had the camera running. And she said, "No, I had already put the camera away." We don't put the camera away anymore while Brother Keith's preaching. It goes until I walk back and turn it off. And I'll tell you one more thing. I was thinking about this last night because it just hurt my heart so. Yesterday in Dearborn, Michigan, the cops there were released to begin to start enacting the Sharia law. And that means you cannot go within a certain number of city blocks from any type of Muslim gathering and say anything about God or Jesus. If you do, you'll be arrested. And yesterday in Dearborn, I'm talking about yesterday, in Dearborn, Michigan, in the United States, people, they weren't even preaching. They were arrested because they were handing out the Gospel of John to people at this fair that was primarily being frequented by people of the Muslim faith. And I thought, this is getting ready to come to a head. I mean, it's in America now. And I'm not bringing you bad news. I'm just telling you the facts. But I remembered this. I don't know that I've ever shared this publicly. But a few years ago, I was preaching in Houston every week at the University of Houston. We went down there and we had a meeting in the chapel weekly. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost wants to rise up in you and demonstrate that Satan is defeated. And we were in the chapel preaching. And when I'm preaching, I always try to feel like my heart and my spirit are open, because I know something's coming out of my mouth. But if God wants to interrupt me, I'm very attuned. And I'm just waiting for God to say something and wishing that he would interrupt me so that some miracles could take place right then. And so I was preaching, and I mean, I was preaching hard that night. I don't know why, but so I was preaching about something apparently I really enjoyed. And I got to looking around, and I noticed that the people in this congregation were looking very uncomfortable. And I didn't know what was going on, but they were looking at each other. I didn't have people's attention. So I stopped preaching for a minute, and then it dawned on me what had happened. We had been surrounded by a group of Islam militants that had gathered themselves outside this church and had sealed us in. And they were all out there chanting and calling on Muhammad. And what the people were feeling were demon powers. And I sat there for a minute and I heard this and I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I might have to practice what I preach. And I looked at the people, and I never will forget this, Pastor Johnson. I saw on the people a look of warfare on their faces. A look of warfare. And I said, folks, we need to find out from the Holy Ghost what we need to do in order to take care of this situation the way God wants us to handle it. I said, so stand on your feet, and if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you praying in other tongues. I don't want you praying in English or Malayalam or whatever your language is. I want you praying in tongues, because I want you praying according to the perfect will of God. And we began to pray in other tongues. We prayed for about 10 seconds, and the Lord told me, he said, there's only one name that's going to break this power. It's not the name of your religion. It's not the name of your church. It's not the name even of your dead pastor. There's only one name, and that's the name that's going to break this. And I looked at the people who were there, and they were all standing. And I said, listen, folks, this is what I want you to do. I want you to begin to cry out Jesus. Cry out Jesus with all your heart. Cry out Jesus from the Holy Ghost. And they begin to cry out Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it grew, and it grew to a mighty roar until it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And just like it had reached a climax, it just stopped in dead silence. We were all plugged into the same circuit, and there was perfect peace in that room. All of those Islamic militants had fled, run off. I don't know if they were scared or if they felt defeated, and I didn't care. They were gone, G-O-N-E, gone. Jesus had triumphed. And I'll tell you, I said this earlier about one of these other points. There is a group of Islamic people today. God bless the Islamic people. I'm not being critical of that. But there is a group of Islamic people today who, if they are being honest with their children and maybe even their grandchildren, they are talking about the day that the name of Jesus was more powerful than the name of Muhammad and their religion, and that they had to flee from a chapel where a bunch of people were gathered together lifting up the name of Jesus. Everybody look at me and say, I will bring a convincing demonstration about Jesus. I will bring a convincing demonstration about righteousness. And I will bring a convincing demonstration that Satan has been judged. You know, we really can't do this on your feet. Stand up. This is what I feel in my spirit, and this is how I'm going to end this. Did this help you today? I didn't give you a real pretty sermon. Didn't even have a poem. But I gave you what was in my spirit. For thus saith the Lord, I am calling the church back. The church I'm calling back. The church I'm calling back, saith God, because in recent years the church has diverted itself. And because it has diverted itself onto a new path, that demonstration has almost been eradicated in the earth, saith the Lord. But know you not, saith God, I always have a remnant. And this day I would speak unto you and say, you are part of that remnant. So be ye not ashamed of the Holy Ghost, even when others have denied it, even when others have renounced it, and even when others have forbidden it. Be ye not ashamed, saith God, for it is not by might, and it is not by power. It is not by intellect. It is not by the wise words of wise men. It is not through philosophy or theology, but it is by my Spirit, saith God, that I will demonstrate my Son to this generation. Give Jesus a hand clap. Oh, come on, rejoice! Hallelujah! Now we're going to end, but I want you to say this. I want you to say it like you meant to say, I will not be ashamed to let the Holy Ghost demonstrate through me. He will bring a convincing demonstration about sin. And that sin is that the world doesn't believe in Jesus. Say, through me, Jesus will be so beautiful that they will run to take him. Say, I will bring a convincing demonstration to the world about righteousness, because I am righteous because of what Jesus did. And I won't be ashamed of that. And I will let the world see the righteousness of God in me. Say, I will bring a convincing demonstration to the world about Satan's defeat. He's a big zero, and I have been given a name. It's not the name of a denomination or a church or a man or even a religion. It is the name of Jesus, and I'll keep that name on my lips until the last day that I walk this earth. Hallelujah. Now give Jesus a great big hand clap. Oh, come on, rejoice. 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 Oh, go ahead and praise him a little bit. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, my Father, for your word that does not return to you void. It will accomplish that which you purposed and will not return unto you void, but will accomplish the thing whereto you've sent it, Lord God. We thank you for it this day. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. I want to pray for anybody who has any need whatsoever, but the pastor has asked that I give the service back over to him, and I'm going to do that. Let me tell you how much I love you. I told your pastor on the phone when he called me, I was doing my yearly report for school, and I said, hello. Because it turns out to be 22 single-spaced pages with an 8-point font. And I said, hello, and he said, are you asleep? And I thought when he said it, I wish I were. But I told him I had to stop telling people when I go to preach, man, there is a church up in Pflugerville. You need to go there and leave this church. Because you're so receptive and hungry for the Word of God. You soak it up like sponges. And I believe God's going to honor you for that. And I just want you to know how much I love you and appreciate you, and I pray for you. Pastor.
All right, thank you very much. You can be seated now for a moment. The usher is going to be able to hand out, if you would, again today. Offering envelopes, you receive a love offering for this ministry, this man of God as well. And we just want to just resonate what's being spoken here today, that like I was saying in last week's message, we must embrace the Holy Spirit in this hour, this season. The Holy Spirit only does good things for us, through us. The people we want to see delivered and set free and touched, the Holy Spirit can do a whole lot more through us in 5 seconds, we can do ourselves in 5 months of just our counsel, our wisdom, our power, our might. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working through us to see people set free and see lasting results take place, but also, even above all that, to be on an ongoing basis hearing what God is saying to us in obedience, because God's got timing, God's got seasons, God's got divine coincidences. All these things will take place by the Holy Spirit working through us as He will. Jesus Christ would just pray every day that He might be tuned into the Father. I only do what I see the Father doing. He could say that because the Holy Spirit would show Him, guide Him, lead Him to people, circumstances, and things that He wanted to do to bring forth miracles that happened during His ministry. So let's embrace the Holy Spirit again today, and let's ask Him to have His way in our lives every single morning. I like that book that was written there by Benny Hinn, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Every morning, wake up, say, Good morning, Holy Spirit. This is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad this day because of what God does through me this day. In Jesus' name. Ushers, if you go ahead and come to the front, make your checks out today to Tree of Life Church. We're going to receive a love offering for this ministry here. Be generous. Be obedient. Let's exercise our faith here in love as well. And be generous in this offering here. And all that comes in, this offering will go to our brother Keith Needham. He'll be here again, like you said, at the end of this offering to be at the front to pray for people who may want to receive this infilling of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you have not experienced yet being baptized yourself in the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you're not speaking in new tongues yet. God does not give us a snake. When you ask for a piece of bread, you don't get a rock or a snake there. You get what you ask for. You get the Holy Spirit inside your life. And an evidence of that is the speaking in new tongues, new languages there. It's a heavenly language. It's a prayer language. It, again, only is for our benefit and edification and blessing to others around us as well. We saw in the service today, Brother Gish here demonstrates tongues, interpretation of those tongues. It always brings edification to the body of Christ and only does good things for us. Amen. Let's pray this offering. Father, we speak blessings right now upon Keith, upon his life, his ministry, Father God, the work he does, both in the secular realm, Father God, in the realm of the kingdom as well. We praise you, God. You have married the two together for him. We pray, God, for more favor, more guidance, more direction, Father God, more open doors to take place in his life, in his ministry, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for revelation that comes to him on an ongoing basis. We find the timing of the Spirit is his portion, Father God, for 2015. May this year, God, the course he goes be set by your Spirit, Father. May all of his needs be met. May there be an abundance, O God, of greater measure even this year than last year, to be, God, a blessing also to others around him he ministers to and for, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, what is sown this day may be used, O God, for the glorification of your name and the expansion, Father God, of your kingdom. And may I ask all these things in Jesus' name. God bless you, ushers. You wait upon the people. We'll receive this offering now, and we'll have Keith here at the front in a moment to begin to pray for people.